Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. The Mark Cox Morning Show.
I want to compliment your show on how fair and level-headed everything you guys talk about.
Who is this guy? He's saying what we've been saying forever.
Maybe what we need from a conservative standpoint is
the Mark Cox Morning Show.
I respect that. We don't agree.
Listen to both sides.
This,
let's get it on,
is the Mark Cox Morning Show. The Mark Cox Shortlist, brought to you by Eggers Heating and Air Conditioning.
We did what we came here to do, and so much more.
74 million Americans ought not to be slandered based on the action of a couple thousand who participated in a violent mob.
They were provoked by the president and other powerful people.
These 74 million Trump voters are, in fact, terrorists.
There will be an impeachment trial in the United States Senate.
Well, excuse the emotion.
Yeah, how about that? We are monitoring the scene just outside of the White House this morning where Marine One is parked. The blades are not moving yet. The president is expected to leave the White House and go over to Joint Base Andrews where he may make some comments. There's going to be a ceremony of some sort. Air Force One is standing by over there. I can see some crowds gathering in the live footage from Joint Base Andrews, but the president has not left the White House yet. So I don't know if there's a press gaggle out there. I don't know if he's planning on speaking to the press as he leaves. Generally, the rotors on the helicopter are moving by the time the president leaves the door. And from what I can tell, that has not happened yet. So are you seeing the same thing I'm seeing there in your monitor, Tricia?
Yes, we certainly are. Yep, all is still with Marine One. Apparently.
I know. So again, as I suspected, this thing is probably not going to go off on the timeline that everyone's expecting. What do you think the president's doing? You think he's taking one final lap around the White House? maybe in there removing all the B's off the keyboards like the Gore Clinton people did after they left the White House?
You just never know what he's doing in there.
Could be like a scene out of Step Brothers. He's just trying to do things to irritate Joe Biden before he gets there.
Ew.
I'm not suggesting what that might be, but I'm just saying it's possible.
We'll never know.
Nope. And we might not want to.
True.
That might be okay.
We might know. I did hear some network coverage at the top of the hour, and apparently the White House is going to get a complete cleansing today. After the president leaves, they're going to go through and wipe everything down, you know, because, of course, Biden lives in a lid, under a lid most of the time. So I would assume it's going to get a good once-over to reduce the risk of COVID before everybody moves in. And Biden is planning to go to the Oval Office immediately after the inauguration today, and signed 17 immediate actions. Not the least of which would be to reverse travel bans, to ask for you to wear a face mask if you cross state lines. So, Tricia, remember that.
Okay.
As you drive back to the People's Republic today in Illinois, be sure you have your mask on as you cross the border.
All right.
We're going to be policing that, apparently.
I will mask up. It looks like the president is on the move. We'll still have a few minutes before he speaks. Should we get to our guest?
Yeah, why don't we do that? And then if we need to cut away, understanding of that, I think. Charmaine Yost, our guest, vice president at the Institute for Family, Community, and Opportunity at Harrod. Charmaine, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Mark. You know, I'm laughing because I'm sitting here watching the exact same thing you are, and I'm thinking we can do like the kids do these days, and you know, have a simulcast where we watch and chat online, and
It appears.
Oh, man.
Yeah, no kidding. It appears the president and the first lady are walking out of the White House right now, and they were walking for a moment there. It appeared toward the helicopter, and then they stopped and they paused and they took a brief turn toward the media. It looks like he's making some comments. Tricia, are we able to pick up any of that right now?
I'm not actually getting any comments right now.
And oh,
yeah,
okay.
My feed is a little ahead of yours, and it looks like he didn't really say anything. And, you know, it's interesting. One of the things, very kind of inside D.C. thing that you just said was you mentioned the fact that the blades are not moving, which I think is fascinating that they've got their syncopation off, because they should have the bird juiced up and ready to go. And so it'll be interesting to see how long they have to wait before they actually take off. But yeah, no, the president didn't say anything there, but they are expecting him to make remarks once he gets to Andrews.
Yeah, it could be something as simple as he wants the image of going up the steps of the helicopter to turn around and wave without the wind messing his hair up.
Well, you know, there are logistics like that. And also interesting, now he's got the staff coming out behind him, which also is
there
a reverse.
Is.
There you know, I have to say, I do wish that he would be following tradition and welcoming the Bidens to the White House. I think that would have been a gracious move. And so there's a lot that's really sad about this day. And, you know, I don't think you and I should, you know, we can't pretend otherwise. But I imagine, like you, I've been thinking a lot about what it was like when the shoe was on the other foot last time around. And the Clinton people were just, you know, ripping their shirts and howling at the moon. And, you know, I totally understand the feeling, as, you know, like what did you say? 17 executive orders that he's planning to sign today. All day yesterday, as the news was trickling out of what he planned to do today, I'm like thinking, this was such a momentous election from a policy perspective, which is what I do. And we didn't have a conversation about almost any of it. And that's just absolutely gutting to think that I don't feel like a lot of people who voted for Biden have any idea what's about to be unleashed on this country.
Well, I think that's a great point. You know, I pointed out this morning some of the folks who chose not to attend the inauguration last time. Most of the Congressional Black Caucus did not attend. It wasn't only the Congressional Black Caucus, but over 70 members of the House refused to show up. Many of them, like John Lewis and others, said that they thought it was, you know, not a legitimate transfer of power. These were all things that were said 4 years ago. And you know, because there are people saying that this time, the media is going to play it, though, completely differently than they did 4 years ago. And that's one of the things I'm watching as I see this today.
Not to step on your lines, but it woke up this morning to headline, Kamala Harris comes to the vice presidency with unique gifts and skills. And I'm like thinking, try to put the words Mike Pence in that sentence, and it boggles the mind.
that's a great point. Do you know, to your point of him not respecting the tradition of generally, I think yesterday this would have happened. There would have been some sort of tour of the private residence for Jill Biden and her and the incoming president-elect. That didn't happen.
There
was a speech yesterday and then today. So I went back and looked, and apparently President Andrew Johnson was the last president to do this back in 1869 to intentionally skip the swearing-in ceremony. I don't know. I mean, there's a part of me that wishes he had done it. There's another part of me that sees that the person that Donald Trump has been as president, somebody who has certainly tried to go out of his way to there's the helicopters now lifting off from the airport. But he's certainly been a president who's been a disruptor from the beginning. And this kind of plays into it, that he doesn't see his time there as done and is maybe telegraphing the fact that he plans to be back in 4 years.
Well, you know, it's interesting because having been the one who brought up the fact that he isn't doing things the way that usually things are done, I'd also like to point out to people, I don't think we can underscore enough. I've been trying to say to people, you know, all this week, Joe Biden is being sworn in today. You know, this morning you've got people on Twitter saying, we toppled a dictator. And it's like, come on, people. Our systems are holding. Our systems are holding. And I think that, you know, in terms of increasing our civic literacy and emphasizing the fact that, you know, the founders really were brilliant in the way they set things up. And I think people of every political persuasion, regardless of what you think happened over the last 8 weeks, the fact that our systems are holding, and I think that should be an encouragement to everybody.
I love that. I love that point. It's true. You know, in a dictatorship, you don't have peaceful transitions of power like this. I do think it's sad that they've seen fit to put the entire city of Washington, D.C. on lockdown. I looked at a map of D.C. Every street in the District of Columbia just about is closed. Metro stations are closed. I mean, you clearly live close to there. I'm assuming you can probably put that in better perspective than I can, Charmaine.
Well, actually, it's funny you say that because I actually got a text about 3 or 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon. We've got some last minute guests in our house because there's some young people who are friends of our family who live right on the Capitol. And they were like, you know, there's helicopters overhead. There's police marching in front of our home. And I was like, look, come to our house, you know, and it's just for a lot of people who live here. Outside of politics, it has been very unsettling to see all of this.
Well, the Marine One just left. It flew over the Washington Memorial. All the cameras are following it right now. It flew over the Capitol building mm-hmm. on the way out of town. It's headed to Joint Base Andrews Air Force Base, and Air Force One, I'm just trying to set the scene, is there. There is a stage set up with the presidential seal and a bunch of American flags. I'm expecting that's where the president will make his comments coming up in just a few minutes. There's a crowd. It's kind of hard to tell how big of a crowd. Maybe these are mostly just White House staff members that have gone over there earlier in the day, maybe some members of Congress who've gone over to get permission. I would think everything is locked down, particularly at Andrews, tighter than a drum right now.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, Mark, one other thing that I would say in terms of in this theme of our systems holding, you know, it really does fall on us to show that instead of inaugurating hashtag resistance the day of the inauguration, that what it looks like to be the loyal opposition. You can be respectful of a new president and still at the same time say, you know what, we get another bite at this apple in 2 years. It is a blink of an eye in political time. There's another shot at this. Conservatives can come back and insist on having midterm elections that focus on policies, that focus on talking about the extremist kinds of things that we know Biden is going to be doing in the days ahead. We need to start that conversation right now and focus on strengthening a conservative majority in the Senate.
Yeah. You know, I brought that up earlier, and Charmaine Yost, my guest this morning from the Heritage Foundation, the Wall Street Journal floated a story this morning that suggested that the president is planning, has discussed starting a third party called the Patriot Party.
Yeah.
I suggested after reading that may very well have been in reaction to Mitch McConnell trying to alienate and distance himself from the president. And it may be the president's way of kind of firing shots across the bow to say, if you choose to run me away, you have to understand that a whole bunch of the 74 million people who voted with me and for me are probably going to leave too. Are you willing to do that? So I question how serious the thought is of a third party as much as the political leverage of saying you would consider starting a third party.
No, that's a really good point. I've not heard anybody else say that yet. But I think I'm betting that, you know, he is a very strategic thinker. And despite having said that he was an outside the beltway businessman coming new into politics, he learned the art of hardball politics really, really quickly. And I imagine that is what he's thinking. But honestly, I could absolutely see a scenario where he decides to go through with it, though, if the impeachment succeeds. So that would definitely throw us into a fair amount of interesting days with, because you know, third parties traditionally don't fare well and are amazingly disruptive, creating very, very odd coalitions. But yeah, it could be interesting, and certainly given the fact that, you know, the unprecedented amount of support that he gained from unusual kinds of coalitions, I can see the political calculus there.
Yeah, you know, I would go so far as to say it doesn't just create weird political bedfellows; it creates Democrat presidents. Because I think back to the Clinton election, where without a third party candidate, George H.W. Bush would have gotten reelected. I firmly believe that. And I think it's dangerous territory for Republicans. You know, I've had people call into this show who are concerned, Charmaine, that because of the way the last election was run and the effort to make mail-in voting mainstream, that Republicans won't be able to win a major election again. And that's what we have to overcome to prevent people from either losing faith in the system or wanting to go to a third party.
No, that's so interesting you say that, Mark, because, you know, one of the things you and I have been talking about a lot over the last 6 months is the fact that one of the Heritage Foundation's longstanding projects has been on election integrity. We have an election integrity center, and one of our top priorities, one of our top four priorities going into 2021 is going to be election integrity, because I think that's one of the foundational issues right now, is that there's so many people who do not have confidence in this election, and we've got to be able to say that there's been actual legitimate action taken to ensure that people can have confidence in their elections. And you are 100% correct that the real bullseye has got to be on this mail-in ballot situation that is really, really, really outrageous.
Yeah, it was almost a perfect storm, to be honest. I mean, there have been people who have been pushing for it for years. Most Americans didn't take it seriously, at least most states didn't. A few of the red states had provided something like that. But the pandemic was the perfect storm. And now that it's been done and the other side has had its success this year directly as a result of that, it's going to be hard to put back in the box, I'm afraid. So that's something we'll be focusing on here over the next couple of years for sure. Charmaine, listen, I appreciate your perspective on this, your flexibility in case this whole thing had happened a little bit earlier here. But we're going to be keeping a close eye on it, and we feel lucky to have you as part of the show in 2021.
Well, thanks, and your timing's impeccable because here comes the helicopter. He's about to land.
He's landing right now.
Yeah.
See?
Did in just a minute,
worked
yeah.
To perfection. Charmaine, thank you. Have a great day.
Good to be with you. Bye.
You bet. Charmaine Yost from the Heritage Foundation, heritage.org. Love getting her take on these things. The airport there at Joint Base Andrews, we're looking at a live feed right now. Air Force One is standing by. Marine One is coming in for a landing, and we don't know how long it's going to take for the president to get over to the podium. So we're going to go to a break here, 314-241-9797. We plan on carrying the president's comments live when they happen from Joint Base Andrews as he gets ready to depart D.C. for the final time as President of the United States. We'll be right back.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app. Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.